The new service manual, the 2021 through 2023 edition, revised and updated. Page 13, chapter 2, the district and its district committee member. Two types of districts. A district is part of an area, one of the 93 areas that make up the US and Canada General Service Conference. Below are the two types of districts in general service. Geographic district. This is the most common type of district. The number of groups in a district is usually determined by how many groups a district committee member or DM or DCM can reasonably be expected to keep in touch with, learn their problems, and find ways to contribute to their growth. District boundaries may be redrawn should the number of groups increase or decrease significantly. For more information, see Appendix F, Redistricting. Page 108, Appendix F, Changing Boundaries, Redistricting, New Delegate Area, New Region. Redistricting. If it were not for adding committee members to take care of new groups as AA grows, the General Service Conference might well become unwieldy. As the number of groups increases and it becomes too difficult for the DCM to communicate with them all, several courses can be followed. New districts. Divide the district into two or more districts, each with its own DCM. Local committee member, LCM, a large district could divide itself into smaller districts, often called sub-districts or local districts, each electing a local committee member. Depending on area practice, these LCMs may or may not be voting members of the area committee and may or may not hold regular meetings with the GSRs they serve. District committee member, chairperson, DCMC. A large district in a city or county may hold regular meetings led by a DCMC who serves as the link between the district and the area. Within this large district, there are as many district subdivisions as needed to adequately serve the groups. Each of these may be called a sub-district, local district, or zone. Each is served by a DCM who may hold regular meetings of GSRs. In some areas, these DCMs are voting members of the area committee and assembly, and some they are not. Good communication and cooperation among groups, districts, and areas is important when redistricting or other changes in district structure are undertaken. There are many variations, but the goal is the same, to take care of expansion at the district level. When additional committee members are elected to respond to expansion, qualifications and election methods listed for a DCM can serve as guidelines. Forming a new delegate area. If the AA population seems to have grown to the point where the current delegate and other trusted servants can no longer provide adequate service and communication, there may be local interest in forming a new area. In such a case, the area committee or committees involved may write to GSO and request an application for an additional delegate area. This four-page application form requests detailed information about the current area structure, how often assemblies are held, whether there is an alternate delegate, how often district meetings are held, number of active DCMs and whether they assist the delegate and alternate delegate, number of active GSRs in the area, geographical and AA population information about the area and its pattern of growth over the past 5 years, broken down to yearly figures. The application form is designed to determine problems regarding geography and AA population, as well as whether or not the current area service structure is as well developed as it might be to provide support for the delegate. When such a request came up at the 1961 conference, a memo from co-founder Bill W. provided background on the subject. Bill wrote, in part, "It should be reemphasized that the conference is not a political body demanding a completely rigid formula of representation. What we shall need will always be enough delegates at the conference to afford a reliable cross-section of AA plus enough more to make sure of good local communication." Requesting a change of region. Similarly, an area may decide that it should be part of a different region. In that case, the GSRs in that area will be informed in advance by the area committee of the necessary facts, both advantages and disadvantages, in order to make a sound decision requesting a change of region. A simple majority, 1/2 + 1, of GSRs should be present or respond to a mail poll. 2/3 of the majority present or responding should agree before an area petitions for a change of region. Upon notification by the delegate of the plan to change regions, the General Service Office will provide a form to be filled in by the delegate, indicating that the conditions outlined have been fulfilled. The delegate from the requesting area will write on behalf of the assembly to the secretary of the trustees nominating committee stating the request and enclosing the completed form. The delegate will also send copies of the letter and form to the trustees in the two regions involved. The delegate will ask GSO to send a letter to all the area delegates in the two regions involved, requesting that they obtain the group conscience of their respective areas on the proposed change of the region, and that they indicate approval or disapproval on an enclosed card as soon as possible. Approval by two-thirds of the delegates from each region involved is required before the proposal is presented to the General Service Conference for Action. A change of region will become effective at the end of the conference at which it may be approved. Linguistic district. To encourage participation of the maximum number of groups, some areas have incorporated linguistic districts within their structure. These districts are made up of groups that conduct meetings in languages, including French, Spanish, Polish, Vietnamese, and American Sign Language. They usually have a bilingual DCM or liaison. Their boundaries may be independent of the conventional geographic district boundaries. What it means to be a DCM. The district committee member, or DCM, plays a vital role in general service. While the GSR is the voice of a group, the DCM is the voice of a district. A district needs a leader. The GSRs will look to the DCM for guidance on being GSRs and serving their groups. They will look to the DCM to lead on forming an agenda for district activities. They'll want to be inspired and encouraged, but not told what to do. A DCM who can set their own opinions aside in favor of listening and supporting the district's GSRs and of understanding and advancing the conscience of the district's groups is practicing two important principles of leadership in AA: leading by example and serving with humility. The DCM learns the thoughts, wishes, and needs of the district's groups in different ways. Many districts set aside time in their meetings for GSRs to give reports on what's happening in their groups. This gives the DCM the opportunity to listen, to ask questions, and to make suggestions and to follow up to see if the suggestions helped. The DCM also learns by visiting and communicating directly with the groups. Here, the DCM is serving as a resource and not as a replacement for a GSR. In a group without a GSR, the DCM may be able to open a line of communication. Sometimes this stimulates interest within the group to want a GSR of their own. What the DCM learns will eventually form the conscience of the district. As a member of the area committee at area assemblies, the DCM has the opportunity to express the district's conscience in more than one way. By asking questions and making suggestions on area business and proposing new ideas, perhaps for a new way to carry our message of recovery, or a potential revision to a piece of AA literature. By conveying the district's conscience to the delegate on issues coming before the annual General Service Conference, the DCM can help to make the district's conscience part of the delegate's thinking. By voting on the area's trusted servants, including the delegate position and the area's activities and budgets. Page 14, members of a district committee. A district committee is typically composed of the current GSRs from groups within a district, the DCM elected by the district's GSR, the alternate DCM elected by the district's GSRs. Each GSR has a vote on district matters and in district elections. Depending on the district, the DCM and the alternate DCM may or may not be able to vote. Some districts form standing or ad hoc committees to address specific tasks. See glossary for a definition of ad hoc committee. Depending on the district and the type of the committee chairs may be elected by the district or be appointed by the DCM. Group conscience determines who may or may not be able to vote. Many districts establish additional positions to serve on the district committee. These include district treasurer, district secretary, committee chairs. Depending on the district, current GSRs may be able to serve in these positions. This GSR would still have one vote. Some districts suggest that these additional positions go to past GSRs or experienced group members from within the district. Depending on the district, they may or may not be able to vote. Qualifications for DCM. Experience of the fellowship suggests that a DCM ought to have served as a GSR, have at least 4 or 5 years of sobriety, be familiar with both the 12 traditions and 12 concepts, have the time and energy to serve the district well, be able to lead a district while respecting the conscience of the district, have an email address or other easy way of maintaining contact with GSRs and other members, be familiar with the GSO and area websites, Each district decides how to weigh these considerations when voting for DCM and alternate DCM. Term of office. DCMs serve a term of 2 years. Alternate DCMs also serve 2 years. In many areas, DCM terms coincide with those of the panel covering the area delegate's term of service. See glossary for a definition of panel one. And let's go to the glossary. Okay, page 87. Panel refers to a group of delegates elected to begin serving at the General Service Conference in a particular year. Each panel is numbered for the conference at which the area's delegate will first serve. The two-year cycle frequently applies to area committee officers and committee members as well. Duties and responsibilities, page 15. Every district is different, but the following are relatively common service activities undertaken by DCMs. One, regularly hold district meetings. DCMs are asked to give reports to the GSRs on news, issues, proposals, and future events from the area and GSO. It is also important for DCMs to keep the GSRs informed about conference activities, perhaps even assisting the delegate in reporting the proceedings of the General Service Conference, either by organizing report backs or delivering the reports to their districts in lieu of the delegate. GSRs are typically asked to report on what's happening in their groups. The DCMs can make sure that GSRs have what they need in order to assure good communication across the service structure. See the section titled Making Reports in Chapter 1 for a list of publications that can be helpful to DCMs in making reports to the district. Number two, regularly attend area assemblies. The number of assemblies during the year varies by area. All DCMs and GSRs from around the area are asked to attend. DCMs and GSRs are voting members of these assemblies. See Chapter 3 for more information on the area and assemblies. Number three, reach out to groups in the district that do not have GSRs. Some groups may have little or no history of electing GSRs. Some may have had active GSRs in the past, but no longer. The DCM is asked to open a line of communication with these groups. The purpose is not to badger them into electing GSRs, but to begin to connect them to AA as a whole. Number four, organize workshops and/or sharing sessions on service activities. Number five, bring traditions problems to the attention of the delegate. Number six, help GSRs become acquainted with the AA Service Manual 12 Concepts for World Service. DCMs can also be helpful by introducing the GSRs to Box 459 and service material from GSO, which includes workbooks and guidelines on an array of topics. Number seven, alert the district's GSRs to new literature, service materials, and technology applications from GSO and Grapevine. This includes new books published by AE World Services and the Grapevine. The literature catalogs of the two corporations are an excellent resource. DCMs often hear about new literature before it appears in the catalog, and it can be helpful to alert GSRs on what's coming. The groups may have questions and comments on these. The DCM can help the GSRs address these while also passing them along to the area and the delegate. Number eight, assist the delegate in obtaining group contact information for AE regional directories. These directories are used for AE purposes only. They include information on individual groups by city within each province or territory with contact information on group contacts. Number nine, in many areas, DCMs attend area committee meetings in addition to area assemblies. The purpose and scheduling of these meetings varies by area. For more information, see Chapter 4 of this manual on the area committee. Page number 16, to the newly elected DCM. The rotating DCM typically briefs you, the incoming DCM, before the new term begins. Outgoing DCMs usually welcome being of help. If, however, some of your questions have not been answered, the area is a good resource. Experience in the fellowship suggests that new DCMs take time before and early in their terms to review the service manual, including the 12 concepts for world service. A review of the 12 traditions is also helpful. See the section titled To the Newly Elected GSR in Chapter 1 for a list of other AA publications that have been found to be helpful to the DCM as well. Preparing for the first district meeting is typically a top priority for a new DCM who can set the agenda for this meeting as they see fit. Let the purpose of the district to serve the district's groups and convey their conscience to the area be your guide. Experience in the fellowship suggests that involving the district's GSRs in the first meeting as much as possible helps set the right tone. Typically, the GSRs who are continuing on will already have a good sense of their jobs and what's expected of them. They will certainly want to hear about what service events are coming up and what service events are coming up that they are expected to attend, especially the next assembly. Newly elected GSRs will likely have little or no experience in general service and may or may not have had predecessors to help prepare them. Being able to talk about their groups and ask questions about their position can go a long way in easing their entry into their roles. The service sponsor. The experience of fellowship suggests that a service sponsor is highly recommended to those newly elected DCNs who do not already have one. See the section, the service sponsor, in chapter one for more information. Travel expenses. Sometimes DCNs incur expenses traveling to and from service events. Weekend events may also involve expenses for accommodations and food. Budgeting for expenses is a discussion a DCM ought to have with the district at the beginning of the term and certainly before incurring any expense. It is up to each district to decide whether it will reimburse its DCM for all or part of their travel expenses, but it should be remembered that an individual's finances should not be a barrier to service. The alternate DCM. The alternate DCM serves as a backup for the DCM. If the DCM is unable to attend a district business meeting or area assembly, the alternate DCM can step in. The alternate can chair the district meeting and vote on behalf of the district at an area assembly or area committee meeting. If the DCM resigns or is unable to serve for any reason, the alternate often steps in. How this is handled is up to the GSRs in the district. Page 17. Frequently asked questions. Number one, if I, as a DCM, can't make it to the next area assembly, can I send someone in my place? Only the elected DCM or alternate DCM, when the DCM is absent, may vote in an area meeting. Generally speaking, if the area needs a quorum of DCMs to conduct business, only elected DCMs and elected alternate DCMs, if their principals aren't present, count toward the requirements of the quorum. Number two, do I really need to have a service sponsor? The scope of the DCM position and the ongoing need to apply the traditions and concepts to a variety of situations makes having a service sponsor a benefit. Number three, if a group in the district says it wants AA to revise an existing piece of literature or create a new piece, is there a way for the district to help bring this to AA's attention? Yes. If as a DCN you are uncertain about the process, you might reach out to the area chair or delegate. Your service sponsor may be a good resource as well. For additional information on how an item becomes an agenda item for the General Service Conference, see Appendix U. And we have put it on the screen. And I will read it. So page 164, Appendix U, the path for an idea to become an agenda item. Number one, an idea, suggestion, question, concern, or subject comes from an AA member, GSR, DCM, area committee member, delegate, trustee, or GSO GB staff. It may be shared or discussed at the group, district, and area assembly and sent to the conference coordinator, GSO. Number two, the idea is reviewed by the GSO GB staff and forwarded to the appropriate trustees committee. Number three, which then may refer the matter to the appropriate conference committee. Number four, which meets during the General Service Conference Week and makes recommendations that are presented in the committee report to the General Service Conference. Number five, if a conference committee recommendation is approved after full floor discussion, it becomes a conference advisory action, which becomes binding when approved by the General Service Board. Note, this chart provides a broad overview of the process. Number four, if no one seems interested in taking over as DCM when my term ends, should I continue on until someone is found or perhaps even serve another two-year term? It can be difficult when we have worked hard, love this service position, and see no one interested in taking over. Nevertheless, the traditions and the concepts encourage rotation of service. When our terms are up, we step aside. Instead of continuing past the end of your term, consider offering your services for a different position in general service. Your interest and commitment is needed and appreciated. See Appendix E for more discussion on the principle of rotation. And we will look at Appendix E on page 107. The principle of rotation. The principle of rotation flows from tradition too. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. In addition, concepts 9 and 11 reference the principle of rotation in general service. From the AA group pamphlet, traditionally, rotation ensures that group tasks, like nearly everything else in AA, are passed around for all to share. Many groups have alternates to each trusted servant who can step into the service positions if needed. To step out of an AA office you love can be hard if you have been doing a good job, if you honestly don't see anyone else around willing, qualified, or with the time to do it, and if your friends agree. It's especially tough, but it can be a real step toward forward in growth, a step into the humility that is, for some people, the spiritual essence of anonymity. Among other things, anonymity in the fellowship means that we forego personal prestige for any AA work we do to help alcoholics. And in the spirit of Tradition 12, it ever reminds us to place principles before personalities. Many outgoing service position holders find it rewarding to take time to share their experience with the incoming person. Rotation helps to bring us spiritual rewards far more enduring than any fame. With no AA status at stake, we needn't compete for titles or praise. We have complete freedom to serve as we are needed. Additional resources, 12 Concepts for World Service, 12 Concepts Illustrated, Pamphlet, 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. And an active GSR DCM Trusted Servant. Sometimes a trusted servant who has been elected or appointed to serve the fellowship may find that their life circumstances change or the service workload becomes unwieldy. If there is an alternate for the position, that person may be able to help. But difficult decisions may need to be made in order to ensure continuity of the fellowship voice in the service structure. Each service entity has autonomy regarding what constitutes an active trusted servant, whether it be a GSR, DCM, or other service position. Experience in the fellowship suggests that the trusted servant be asked to resign if it appears they are unable to carry out the responsibilities of the position. The service entity involved is then free to elect a new trusted servant to the position. Back on page 17, frequently asked questions. The last one is number 5. Our district keeps growing and I find it hard to serve all of the groups effectively. What can we do? See Appendix F, redistricting. Appendix F on page 108, changing boundaries, redistricting, new delegate area, new region. Redistricting. If it were not for adding committee members to take care of new groups as AA grows, the General Service Conference might well become unwieldy. As the number of groups increases and it becomes too difficult for the DCM to communicate with them all, several courses can be followed. New districts. Divide the district into two or more districts, each with its own DCM. Local committee member, LCM. A large district could divide itself into smaller districts, often called sub-districts or local districts. Each electing a local committee member, depending on area practice, these LCMs may or may not be voting members of the area committee and may or may not hold regular meetings with the GSRs they serve. District committee member, chairperson, DCMC. A large district in a city or county may hold regular meetings led by a DCMC who serves as the link between the district and the area. Within this large district, there are as many district subdivisions as needed to adequately serve the groups. Each of these may be called a sub-district, local district, or zone. Each is served by a DCM who may hold regular meetings of GSRs. In some areas, these DCMs are voting members of the area committee and assembly, and some they are not. Good communication and cooperation among groups, districts, and areas is important when redistricting or other changes in district structure are undertaken. There are many variations, but the goal is the same, to take care of expansion at the district level. When additional committee members are elected to respond to expansion, qualifications, and election methods listed for a DCM can serve as guidelines. Forming a new delegate area. If the AA population seems to have grown to the point where the current delegate and other trusted servants can no longer provide adequate service and communication, there may be local interest in forming a new area. In such a case, the area committee or committees involved may write to GSO and request an application for an additional delegate area. This 4-page application form requests detailed information about the current area structure, how often assemblies are held, whether there is an alternate delegate, how often district meetings are held, number of active DCMs and whether they assist the delegate and alternate delegate, number of active GSRs in the area, geographical and AA population information about the area and its pattern of growth over the past 5 years, broken down to yearly figures. The application form is designed to determine problems regarding geography and AA population, as well as whether or not the current area service structure is as well developed as it might be to provide support for the delegate. When such a request came up at the 1961 conference, a memo from co-founder Bill W. provided background on the subject. Bill wrote, in part, "It should be reemphasized that the conference is not a political body demanding a completely rigid formula of representation. What we shall need will always be enough delegates at the conference to afford a reliable cross-section of AA, plus enough more to make sure of good local communication." Requesting a change of region. Similarly, an area may decide that it should be part of a different region. In that case, the GSRs in that area will be informed in advance by the area committee of the necessary facts, both advantages and disadvantages, in order to make a sound decision in requesting a change of region. A simple majority, 1/2 + 1, of GSRs should be present or respond to a mail poll. 2/3 of the majority present or responding should agree before an area petitions for a change of region. Upon notification by the delegate of the plan to change regions, the General Service Office will provide a form to be filled in by the delegate, indicating that the conditions outlined have been fulfilled. The delegate from the requesting area will write on behalf of the assembly to the Secretary of the Trustees Nominating Committee, stating the request and enclosing the completed form. The delegate will also send copies of the letter and inform to the trustees in the two regions involved. The delegate will ask GSO to send a letter to all the area delegates in the two regions involved, requesting that they obtain the group conscience of their respective areas on the proposed change of the region, and that they indicate approval, disapproval on an enclosed card as soon as possible. Approval by 2/3 of the delegates from each region involved is required before the proposal is presented to the General Service Conference for action. The change of region will become effective at the end of the conference, at which it may be approved.